A rough day for Diamond. J.P. Morgan's CEO answers to Congress.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Over on Capitol Hill today, JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon will be in front of the Senate Banking Committee. He'll be trying to explain how his bank lost $2 billion on one risky hedging strategy. Heidi Moore has more for us from Washington.
When members of Congress grill Wall Street CEOs, the sparks usually fly. Remember 2009? Representative Maxine Waters faced off against Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis.
Bank of America, you paid yourself $30 million in fees. Why do you do that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Or 2010, when Senator Carl Levin noted the scatological aspect of a Goldman Sachs contract.
Look what your sales team was saying about Timberwolf. Boy, that Timberwolf was one shitty deal.
Here in Washington, Jamie Dimon's testimony today is so anticipated that one veteran of Capitol Hill described it to me as Dimonpalooza. Jamie Dimon isn't just any bank CEO. Stanford Business School professor Anat Admati used an apt phrase.
The banker we hate the least.
Chris Payne, a senior economic analyst at Bloomberg Government, has met with congressional staffers, and he says that Dimon's rock star glow has dimmed lately.
I dare say that no one in Washington is going to be particularly sympathetic to him. I think he's going to get a fairly rough ride.
That's because everyone here is sick of sparring about the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. Payne says the political will just isn't there anymore.
Perhaps there isn't the kind of ire against Wall Street that there once was. This is just a kind of irritating blip.
It's hard to imagine a $2 billion trading loss as a blip, but Admati agrees that's all it is for J.P. Morgan, which has $2 trillion in assets. That's why she says the hearings could open the door to a larger conversation about the health of the banking system.
What I'd like Congress to be doing is asking what this means for the kind of bigger picture.
Unfortunately, with the summer recess and the elections in November, not many in Washington will be able to start painting that picture until January 2013. In Washington, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at the markets this morning. Things are looking pretty good. London's FTSE and Germany's DAX both showing small gains. Great Britain's finance minister said Greece may need to quit the euro to help convince Germany to invest more in saving the single currency. U.S. markets saw big gains yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.3% to close at 12,573.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Americans spend an average of $1,100 a year on clothes. That's less than a laptop. And a lot of that is spent on so-called fast fashion, super cheap clothes in the latest cuts. That's the subject of a new book by Elizabeth Klein called Overdressed. I caught up with Klein in New York's Fashion District, where she gave me a tour of some local fast fashion outlets. We began the interview near a Kmart. The store is the setting for a personal story in the book.
In the summer of 2009, I was actually in a Kmart in Astor Place, which is in Manhattan, and walked in and saw that a pair of shoes that I liked was on sale for an astonishing $7 a piece. And I ended up clearing the entire store out of my size. So I actually bought 7 pairs of shoes that day.
And what happened to the shoes?
Oh, you know, they fell apart within a couple of weeks. And I think that actually they went out of style before I could wear them all. So I've still got a couple of pairs clogging my closet.
How did you get from there to wanting to write this book? Because it sounds like you're consuming the way that a lot of us are right now.
Right. I started looking into it and realized that Americans are now buying a little over one garment per week. So it's not just me. I think that most Americans are trapped in this cycle of buying a lot of clothing for very little money. And I really just wanted to delve into why that is and what's happened in the fashion industry that's created this situation.
And it does seem, though, like especially right now since the recession, that there has been such a huge focus on sales and markdowns and fashion being cheaper than ever. I mean, how does that sort of affect the industry right now?
People should be looking at clothes as an investment. I think that that's what's different about this recession is that you would think that people would say, I actually want to spend my money on something that's going to last. But instead, it's made us just more even deal conscious, and we have become even cheaper. And I think part of the reason why is because we have really killed off the middle market of the fashion industry over the last 10 to 20 years. So I see where consumers are coming from because there aren't a lot of options out there anymore.
What would that mean for consumers? Like if someone's maybe interested in changing the way that they shop, what's a good way to start?
Well, there are so many different things. You know, just a handful would be supporting local designers. Designers, when they're starting up, honestly, they don't have the capital to produce overseas. So a lot of them are producing in our communities. So support them, help them thrive. I would also say that people should use their tailors and their seamstresses in their community. Get your shoes repaired. Take care of what you own. And then lastly, I would say, take that $1,100 a year that Americans spend on average on clothes and buy less, but just invest your money in things that are a little bit better made.
Elizabeth Klein, her new book is called Overdressed. And finally, Microsoft has filed a patent for technology that serves up ads based on what mood you're in. It works with Microsoft's video console and figures out how you're feeling based on your search queries, facial expressions, body movements, and speech patterns, and then shows you ads based on your mood. For instance, a happy consumer will see ads for electronics and vacations. A sad consumer, apparently more receptive to ads for weight loss products. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.